Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 7:06 British Summer Time. Today is July 10th. And of course, today being Friday, it's the big picture long-term audio for the various different asset classes. But first, let's have a little review of what's been happening this week. And this week has really been characterized by some further deterioration in stock markets particularly, and with the major commodity markets. We've also seen a continuation of the strength in the government bond markets, and the dollar has been relatively steady in here. We continue to see that back on June 3rd was an all-change moment for stock markets, and the environment has changed quite considerably since then. Between March and June, we had a very persistent advance, and that has now given way to a much more ranging type of environment. We see that for the majority of stock markets, we've entered a more ranging phase, and the consistent and above all persistent trends that developed between March and June have to one extent or another moved into a reactionary type environment. It's also of note that we saw a large number of stock markets encounter resistance at round numbers. So, for example, we had the Nikkei at 10,000, we had the FTSE at 4,500, we had a number of European markets also at round numbers. And those round numbers also, in a large number of instances, marked the upper side of what has now looking like a 6 to 7 month range. And there is a huge difference between the leading markets, primarily in Asia, in commodity producing Latin America, and technology-led markets such as Sweden and Israel, and in lagging markets dominated by the USA and Europe. Because the bullish case is not confirmed for those lagging markets. We did not see breakouts to the upside from these developing base formations. We saw tests of the upper side of those ranges, and we're now seeing markets pull backwards from the top of those ranges. And there, because the bull case is not confirmed, and because we are seeing this pullback, the potential for a more prolonged period of base extension or base formation is considerably higher for those markets than for leading markets, because in the leading markets we saw a large number of them breaking upwards from those bases and improving upon that performance quite considerably up to the middle of June. And that's not in any way similar to what we saw in those lagging markets. So this week we've seen that the majority of stock markets have pulled backwards that bit more, that this reactionary phase that began back in at the beginning of June is becoming more developed as people begin to question the bullish hypothesis. And we continue to see that there is a risk of further deterioration in stock markets. The same can be said for the commodity markets. We see oil back below $60 today, and the gold price has been relatively steady this week, but is still hovering around this $900 level and has pulled back from the test of the $1,000 almost a month ago at this point. Silver was also relatively weaker in here, down below the $13 level in this week and closing out the week at $1,264, so relatively weak there as well. We also see that while the industrial metals, when compared to the precious metals or energy, are showing some relative strength, they are also in danger of further reaction, and tin in particular is coming off rather heavily this week. We see that the grain complex has pulled back sharply over the last month. That continued this week, and we saw that a number of these grains, particularly corn, soybeans, and wheat, are pulling back to the lower side of these ranges, that we had a failed break, particularly for the leading soybeans at the top of the range, and it's now pulling back to test the lower side of the range in what also looks to be a prolonged period of base formation development, or which is turning into a prolonged period of base formation development. This has also been a week in which we saw that government bonds continue to rally, and we see that just today treasuries are up an additional 1.5 points. JGBs have had an even bigger rally over the last month, and that was improved upon this week. Now, what we're starting to see is that some of these moves that we've seen over the last month this week are starting to look a little bit more overextended. For example, JGBs have been so remarkably persistent on the upside that the first downward dynamic in that market is likely to signal a pullback in consolidation, or at least a pause in what has been a very persistent move. And the dollar has been ranging against the major currencies such as the euro and the pound for much of the last month. That continued this month. But against, for example, on the Latin American dollar index, it had a quite marked upside failure this week and is pulling back into the range and does look like it can rally further against some of those currencies against which it has been most weak over the last month. Now, let's get onto some of the bigger themes. And something that we mention continually at the chart seminar, it's a quote from Middlemarch, and it's that our deeds travel with us from afar, and what we have been makes us what we are. And the 3-month period that ended at the beginning of June conditioned investors to an extent that the bullish hypothesis or bullish trading tactics were working. And that what goes hand in hand with that type of scenario is that breakouts can be trusted because they're sustained, that it pays to hold on to your positions for longer, and that relatively loose stops work. But over the last month, we've moved into a different trading environment where the predominant pattern that we have out there now is ranging. And in a ranging type of environment, it pays to take your profits quicker, and it doesn't pay to buy breakouts because more often than not, they will fail. Now, of course, every ranging phase is completed by a successful breakout, but it will probably pay to wait for the breakout to be confirmed with a pullback and a finding of support above a range before buying a breakout at this juncture, because we are in a different type of environment. The classic type of action that we see with a completed type 2 bottom or top is the massive reaction against the prevailing trend. That's the defining characteristic of a type 2 bottom or top. And what happens to drive it is that, just like with any other trading range, it creates a vacuum of supply above the market and demand below. When that vacuum of supply in a bottoming characteristic is punctured, then short covering drives the market initially. And as more investors come off the sidelines and into the market, it can push it farther, faster than anyone has seen in a significant period of time. And that's what we've seen over the last 3 months. But we're now into the next period of that bottoming phase, and that is the questioning of what exactly has changed. Because the arguments that were being touted by the bears prior to March were very much sidelined during the rally and are now beginning to come back to the fore and are being met by some bullish arguments. So supply and demand has come back into balance, and supply is now starting to gain the upper hand as we move into this reactionary phase where the very impressive gains, particularly for leading markets, is consolidated. And this can go on for a period of time in what we often refer to as right-hand extension, where the argument as to what has really changed really starts to gain teeth. Because the green shoots that people have been talking about over the last few months are probably not as powerful as really the markets have priced in. And we have already seen that the majority of markets have moved into these ranging phases where we see that the fundamentals are now attempting to catch up with what has been a very powerful move. And it does look like we're going to see this ranging type environment going forward for at least the next few weeks and potentially through the summer as the news that is coming out is digested and as this remarkable stock market performance continues to go through the process of digestion. For leading markets, this is likely to be a buying opportunity as we see any reaction that unfolds finds support above the base formations. At least that's what we would be looking for if this is the beginning of a new bull market. If they pull back and find support above a rising 200-day moving average, then by definition, that is the beginning of a new uptrend and potentially a new bull market. Longer term, we're looking for the markets that perform best. And not only in terms of the performance that we've seen in stock markets, but it's the very fact that the leading markets are leading to the upside, that they found support first, that they moved into base formation development first, broke upwards from their base formations first, and began to lose upward consistency first, is also all indications that these are leading markets that will give us a clue to how the rest of the global stock market environment will perform. The fact that we're seeing the very best performances coming from the Asian region, commodity producing Latin America, and technology-led markets is an indication of where we can look for new bull markets to develop going forward once this deep global recession has run its course. Because in lagging markets, growth is likely to be anemic going forward. We are likely to see a return to growth at some point next year or late this year, but in the OECD countries, that growth is likely to be really quite slow as the massive debt burden and deficits are worked out and worked through, and as the consumer moves towards a position where he's attempting to save more money. And they just don't have those kinds of problems in the emerging world. Certainly, they will have lost a large purchaser of their products because the consumer in the West will be retrenching. But they don't have the debt problems. And we can anticipate that they will be moving full on to develop their own consumer economies to attempt to soak up the exports that they will no longer have a market for in the West. And that isn't just true of China, but we can anticipate that that is a trend that will go forward in a large number of emerging countries. And certainly over the last decade, we've seen that trade between emerging countries is growing quite considerably. And that isn't something that is going to be damaged to any great extent by the credit crisis, which is focusing primarily on the USA and, well, primarily the English-speaking world, with France and Germany thrown in there for good measure. Going forward, because we have these debt problems, and because the governments are of the world, primarily the USA and much of Europe, are flooding the market with their paper in order to fund their stimulus packages and help to attempt to get their countries moving once more, well, there's no shortage of paper out there, and it is only a matter of time before we start to see yields pushing upwards once more. What we're seeing right now is that yields are falling because they were really quite overextended. The 10-year yield in the USA had almost doubled in the 3 months to June and is giving up some of that advance right now. There is further room for treasury prices to advance in the short term, but in the medium to long term, this is a topping out of probably the last big bull market that we still have out there. US Treasury prices have been rallying for the better part of 30 years, or yields have been falling for the better part of 30 years, and that probably has bottomed in terms of the yield. And base formation could take a number of years, but the chances are that over the next couple of decades we're going to see higher interest rates. Higher interest rates would generally equate with higher inflation, but inflation isn't going to just appear in wages or in property prices anytime soon, and certainly inflation isn't going to be a problem in the short term as we see that commodity prices continue to pull lower. With commodity prices pulling lower, that is leaving room for the governments of the world to add more stimulus because they won't have a problem with inflation. They won't be afraid of inflation, and quantitative easing appears to be working for them at the moment in that they are flooding the market with more money, and they have helped to avert what was potential for an extraordinarily deep recession or indeed a depression. So they have been vindicated to an extent in their policies, and the fact that inflation is unlikely to be a problem in the short to medium term will give them room to add further stimulus if they need to. And if we see that this stock market pullback, consolidation, and correction turns into something more serious, then the likelihood that they are going to add further stimulus to the markets is probably considerably strengthened. But longer term, the quantitative easing policies that have been put in place are sowing the seeds for an inflationary problem down the road. And that inflationary problem is most likely to show up first in commodity prices. But that isn't something that's going to be bothering people for the coming months. It's something that people will be considering over the coming years. Looking at the gold price, we see that it has rallied towards $1,000 on two occasions in the last 18 months and is currently consolidating below the $1,000 level. There is a lot of symmetry now in this pattern, and with the problems that remain in place in the global economy and with the way that the fiat money system is being abused by central bankers who, for all intents and purposes, are closet inflationists, then the need for a sound or real store of value for one's wealth is best filled by gold. And there is considerable room for gold to appreciate. And of course, considering the fact that we've had three major consolidations in the last decade, and they've all lasted in the region of a year and a half, one above another, and that we are now pushing back up towards the upper side of this range, does suggest that at some point this year we're going to see gold breaking to the upside, and provided that break is sustained, then there is considerable room for the price to appreciate beyond where we are right now. But where we are right now is in a reactionary phase, and gold has been really quite steady. When we begin to see silver, which is likely to lead, silver is currently at 1262, and there is lateral support down there around $12. I think there's probably a lot of people thinking that they would like to be buying in the region of the $12 level, suggesting that it may not get down there, and if it does get down there, probably won't stay there for very long. But an upward dynamic would confirm that support is being found, and if we start to see silver improving, gold would probably not be too far behind. We continue to see that China is the growth center of the world and is exacting a positive leash on much of the Asian region, at least in terms of the economy. There are doubts, of course, in a communist system as to how to what extent you can trust the growth figures. But no one doubts just how much cash China has on the sidelines and how great its ability is to pump money into the system if it needs to. So China does have the wherewithal, without having to go to the debt markets to borrow, to help to get its economy out of any trouble that it is in right now. And certainly the stimulus packages that have been put in over the last 6 months have had the desired effect. And China's stock market continues to push to the upside. But it is becoming increasingly overextended. And this type of activity is more high risk for anyone initiating long positions. And certainly, with the type of activity that we are seeing, the potential for a further pullback and consolidation does look likely. But even in that eventuality, there's a strong likelihood that for markets such as China and a number of these emerging markets that have completed their bases, that the likely extent of a pullback is towards consolidation rather than pulling back and retesting their lows. That does look like an outside possibility. And any pullback that we have will likely be a buying opportunity. The US dollar is another interesting candidate here because it is being roundly abused by the deficits that are being run in just about every aspect of the US, the quantitative easing measures that are in place, and the fact that net foreign reserves have shrunk from in the region of 100 million, excuse me, $100 billion a month between 2005 and 2007 to only 40 billion net dollars flowing into the US so far. Well, in the first quarter of this year, because that's lagging data. And that's a big hole that's going to need to be filled. And if we were a fly on the wall, we could look at this problem and say, well, this hole is either going to have to be filled by higher taxes, lower consumption, and greater savings, or it could be ameliorated by allowing the dollar to weaken. In other words, printing more of it, increasing the supply, and making the or diluting the value of the dollars already in existence. In other words, inflating their way out of the problem. And while the USA certainly isn't the only country doing that, there is significant room for further weakness in the biggest economy in the world as they continue to abuse the value of the currency, which should feed into the value of physical commodities appreciating in value from an investment perspective, but also particularly the gold price. And when we look at how the dollar is faring right now, what we've seen over the last few months, particularly since September, has been that when stock markets and commodities did well, the dollar and bonds did badly, and vice versa. And what we're certainly seeing now is that bonds are performing remarkably well, but the dollar has actually not been rallying really very significantly over the last month, certainly not to the same extent that we've seen in the treasury markets. And that might be an indication that the safe haven status of the dollar today isn't what it was less than 6 months ago, and that people are raising legitimate concerns about the ability of the dollar to maintain its value in a crisis type scenario when quantitative easing measures are being put in place and probably being and the Fed is expanding its balance sheet really quite aggressively. It does sort of lead us to a question to what extent that relationship where we saw the stock market and commodity markets rallying in tandem and bonds and the dollar falling in tandem, to what extent that is going to remain true going forward. Because while we continue to see that there is a risk that stock and commodity markets will remain in this reactionary phase for a while longer, if we do start to see a deterioration of the dollar, that is unlikely to be a sound support for a number of reasons, because it will cause if we start to see, for example, the dollar index moving from 80 down towards the 70 region, which is where the lows are, it would likely coincide with a dollar crisis and multilateral intervention, because a very weak dollar isn't in the interest of anybody. On the other hand, there is room for it to deteriorate from where it is right now, and that needn't necessarily be a very swift deterioration, because of course the currency markets are always going to have be a two-sided story, and quantitative easing measures are in place in a number of other countries as well. So while there is potential for the dollar to appreciate somewhat, I don't think it's unlikely that we're going to see the dollar rally in the same way that we saw it rally back in March or back to the previous high late last year. And over the medium to longer term, I think that there is significant room for some additional dollar weakness, but probably not to the extent that we see the dollar index moving to new lows. And over the long term, the dollar does appear to be in a bottoming out phase, and while that bottoming out phase could take a number of years, and we will have periods when it will be weak and strong, it's probably unlikely that we're going to see the dollar move very much lower below that 70 region in the dollar index. And when these problems that are in the US have been worked through, and provided the regulatory environment is corrected, and assuming that it doesn't attempt to inflate away the entire debt, there is room for the dollar to strengthen up over the longer term, because what we have seen over the last year is a major break of the downtrend and probably the onset of base formation development. And of course, base formation development precedes the beginning of new bull markets, or by definition is the first stage of a new bull market. But that is probably not just a couple of years away, but probably a decade away before we start to see the kind of strength that could be defined as a bull market for the dollar. In the meantime, we continue to see that stock markets are under pressure, as are commodity markets. And of course, if commodity markets are pulling backwards, inflationary problems are not going to, well, nobody's going to be worrying about inflation. The treasury markets are becoming overextended, but nothing has happened to shake anyone out of a bull position there, and there's room for them to rally a bit further. And the dollar hasn't rallied very much at all over the last month or so, and if it is going to begin to rally from here, it would really want to start getting on about it. And if it fails to rally in a period when stock markets and commodity markets are under pressure, well, when they begin to turn around once more, then that will remove a fundamental demand for the currency, and we could start to see it getting weaker from there. And I think with that, I will leave you for the weekend, and wish all the best to all of you.